When one personality meets another for the first time, there is a period of mutual examination on the intuitive level of empathy and identification. But it was impossible to relate oneself to Dooley in any way. He was simply the focal point for a hostile, intrusive force. You could feel him walk right into your psyche and look around to see if anything was there he could make use of. I stepped back a little from the door to avoid contact with him. He squeezed himself into the room and immediately sat down on the couch and lit a cigarette. "It's better to meet alone like this." His smile was ambiguously sexual. "Nick is a very uncool guy." He stood up and handed me $4. "Do you mind if I take off here?" he asked, pulling off his coat. I had never heard anyone else use this expression. For an insane moment, I thought he was making advances. He dropped his coat on the couch and rolled up his sleeve. I brought him 2 caps and a glass of water. He had his own works, for which I was grateful. "Let me tell you something," he said. "You're making a big mistake to trust Nick. A few nights ago, I was in Thompson's cafeteria, and I ran into Rogers, the agent. He told me, 'I know Nick is scoring for all you goddamn junkies here in the village. You're getting good stuff, too, between 16% and 20%. Well, you can tell Nick this. We can take him any time we want. And when we do catch up to him, he's going to work with us.' He opened up for me once. He'll do it again. We're going to find out where this stuff is coming from." Dooley looked at me and sucked on his cigarette. "When they get Nick, they'll get you. You'd better let Nick know that if he talks, you'll have him poured into a barrel of concrete and dumped in the East River. I don't need to tell you any more. You can see what the situation is." He looked at me, trying to gauge the effect of his words. It was impossible to tell just how much of this story I was expected to believe. Perhaps it was just a roundabout way of saying, "How will you ever know who fingered you? With Nick such an obvious suspect, if I talked, you could never be sure, could you now?" "Could you let me have 1 cap on credit?" he asked. "What I've just told you should be worth something." I gave him a cap, and he pocketed it without comment. He stood up. "Well, I'll be seeing you. I'll call at the same time tomorrow." I put out a grapevine to see what I could find out about Dooley and to check his story. No one knew anything definite about him. Tony, the bartender, said, "Dooley will think if he has to." But he couldn't give me a definite instance. Dooley came around every day, impudent, demanding, insufferable. Usually he had some new bulletin on the Nick Rogers situation. He didn't mind letting me know that he was in constant touch with Rogers. On top of this, I was just barely scraping by. The short counts we kept getting from the wholesaler, the constant nibbles of credit, and customers coming up 20, 5, 50, or even a dollar short, plus my own habit. Cut profits to bare subsistence. When I complained about the wholesaler, Bill Gaines got snappish and said I ought to cut the stuff more. "You're giving a better cap than anybody in New York City. Nobody sells 16% stuff on the street. If your customers don't like it, they can take their business to Walgreens.